Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and happy Easter. This is a day that I would not miss celebrating, but I have had some challenges lately, and they've left me with a voice that doesn't sound quite like me. So we're going to do our best to get through this with our message, and we are so blessed to have Nancy. Nancy, why don't you take over for a minute or two?
I will. Hi, everybody. Happy Easter. It's such an incredible day for all of us. My heart has just been on fire since yesterday, just preparing for the reality of, you know, what he did and what he created and made possible for us. So thank you for being here today, because this is a special, holy, sacred day. And so glad you guys are all here. Glenda is under some challenges, but you know, as she said, she wouldn't be anywhere else but here today, and she will have a wonderful message for us. But we're going to do things a little differently today. We're going to have a wonderful message and then a little bit of quiet time for prayer, a quiet prayer and meditation, followed by the blessing. If Glenda finds that she can't continue her message, if she's getting into any coughing spell, you know, we may take some calls from the community. But so I just ask all of us, just, you know, our faith is strong and beautiful, and let's just hold her up. And, you know, Yeshua's always holding her up, as, you know, giving her great advice of how to, you know, make this be an easy thing for her today. But as a community, let's just hold her up and bless her and, you know, give her the strength from all of us and all of our hearts. And so today's a little different. It's Easter. It's, you know, we're Easter people, right? And it's just very exciting that we're together. So I see so many wonderful people on the call. I'm going to open it to Glenda, unless she wants me at this point to bring in a caller. We do have a couple callers, but I'm going to let her decide. Like I said, we wanted to kind of just do a message, some quiet prayer time, introspection, and then followed by our blessing. So I hope that is good for everybody, and I hope everybody's having some wonderful family time today. We are. We've got a big family crew out there in the back, and I was able to cocoon here and be with y'all, so I'm so grateful. So love you. So Glenda, how are you doing?
We love you too, Nancy, and thank you for opening this. Oh my goodness, I don't know how we could do without you. You're a voice that bridges what I have to offer with our community and makes everyone feel important, which they are.
Amen.
And on Easter, the original Easter, was a day when we all were made more important. We all were restored to our union with God. That was actually what it was all about. It was restoring our union and overcoming separation. And right now, I think I'm fairly okay. I am armed to the gills with cough drops and Evian water and a chuckle or two. Just before I started, Yeshua came and he said, take a scarf and wrap it around your throat to keep it real warm. So even he's here coaching me. We're going to have a great time. First of all, I want to give you some background on the significance of how Easter was set up to come about in its perfect time, for its perfect person to be born and raised up as an example, as a savior for all humanity, and also to cover the subject of why the word savior is so relevant, so important, and so real. I think we could see from so many aspects of his life that he was the Alpha and the Omega of everything he touched and taught and accomplished. He was clearly exemplifying the beginning and the fulfillment of existence with his life. And we have to go back to his birth to really see the perfection of that and how it ties in to Easter. Now, can you imagine, just imagine, a woman 9 months pregnant, riding on a donkey in the cold of winter over the hills for no good reason? It doesn't, there's no sense to it. They didn't ride over the hills just so she could deliver the child in Bethlehem. They went over the hills because, and the long distance in the cold, on a donkey. And by the way, in those days, if you had a donkey, you had a Cadillac. Otherwise, you traveled by foot. Only the Romans rode horses. And the Jews abhorred the idea of a horse because you would be seen to be like the Romans. So donkeys were it or nothing. Or maybe a donkey pulled cart. I mean, maybe that would have been Rolls Royce. But a donkey was the Cadillac. So they did their best to get there. Now they had to go there for the census. We know that in the Bible. But what we don't know, unless we really study it in depth, is that the reason they went to Bethlehem is because it was the Passover. All Jews went to their birthplace to celebrate the Passover. This would have been Joseph's birthplace. They went there to celebrate the Passover, not just to comply with Roman law. So Yeshua was actually born on the Passover. He was not born on Christmas, and every theological scholar in the world would acknowledge that. Christmas was a Roman holiday, and after Christianity became Romanized, it was expected to conform to Roman ceremony. And, you know, I don't object to that because, as far as I'm concerned, every day should be his birthday. And we should celebrate him any day of the year. And if that's when people feel good about it, fine. And it also is the beginning of the celestial year, which is very much in accordance with his life. He brought new life into the world. He started a new celestial phase of humanity. So it's not out of stride. It's fine. But if we want to know more about him and his life, we've got to really search a little deeper for the truth. Now we know that he was crucified on the Friday before Passover. Passover was on Saturday, and it was a day when he had to be, no one could be hanging on the cross on Saturday. That's why he had to be taken down and buried before Passover occurred, which began at sunset on Friday. And that's why no one could touch the tomb or go there until Sunday morning. Because Sunday morning at dawn was the end of Passover. So we have Passover being actually the Alpha and the Omega of his life, which completes the Jewish epic of of God's will and God's promise to man. It began with restoration. And that's what his life was all about. It was about restoration. Now, so many people ask me, why? But why did he have to suffer? Why did he have to hang on the cross and go through so much pain? He was the Son of God. Oh my gosh, why? Why would God allow him to suffer? And does that mean God's going to let us suffer and just stand back and watch us bleed? No. No, my friends. You've got to understand the meaning on that. And the meaning on that brings us into focus with why he came. We were in a terrible state of separation from God. We were in a state of separation. And you can't blame it just on conquerors or Rome or poverty or existential circumstances. We had moved away as a human species. We had moved away from God through our own willfulness, our own mistakes in living, our own sin, because all the things that we do outside the will of God takes us away from the presence of God. And we were 100% outside, separate from God, which actually calls us to realize why he could only perform miracles for the very few, which he did, because there were only very few, often the children or the very poor, the very indigent, who had actually maintained their union with God. And he would say to them, he would ask first of all, is your faith ready to receive? And then he would complete his miracle. Your faith has made you whole. In other words, he was affirming our union with God as the soul ingredient of power in our healing, in our recovery, and in our joyous and beautiful engagement with life. So he came to restore that. He was born of God. However you choose to look at the conception, personally, I take it quite literally. I do. Because if God created us from mud, he could certainly inseminate an egg with his glory and his righteous being. And I take it to be the truth that he truly is the Son of God. I take it that Mary was prepared for that from the beginning of her life. If we study some very precious apocryphal books, we find how special Mary's life was even before she was born and cared for and regarded and prepared for being all that she was. But we're not going into that right now. What we want to take into accord, the most important thing, is he came in order to make God fully human. Fully human. It's the only way separation could be cured. God had been calling and calling. We couldn't cross the divide. We couldn't cross. We couldn't say to the Red Sea, move apart so we can cross. We didn't have that power. God came to us. This was God's way of curing the separation by becoming human. But he couldn't just be human in a privileged and protected way. You have to look at all the things we suffered. There were days when he fasted in order to know hunger. There were times when he went without drinking in order to know thirst. He had to endure suffering because we suffer. And the ultimate pain he took upon himself was separation from his Father. Because if he was going to be purely, fully human, he had to endure separation. Which is why on the cross, he said, Abba, which means Father, Abba, why have you forsaken me? He forgave everyone. He said, Father, forgive them all, for they know not what they've done. And at that moment, all sins were washed away. All of them. There was no remaining sin left for anyone who would just even come to know him. I think that some of the Pentecostal preachers overdo it by saying, if you accept him as your Lord and Master, and no, you're already forgiven. You're already forgiven. What you have to accept is the forgiveness. When you accept the forgiveness, you will meet him and you will love him. And you don't have to say Lord and Master because you will know that he is God incarnate as man. You just have to accept the forgiveness. And so this answers a question that has come around many, many times to me. Well, if you're not Christian, does this pertain to you? It pertains to everybody, my friend. All you have to do is accept the forgiveness. That's it. That's it. You can still study the teachings of Buddha. Accept the forgiveness. And walk across the Red Sea. Where you are in union with God again. There have been many, many prophets and teachers who brought the Spirit of God to us, who taught us about the loving, serene, peaceful, universal presence of God in all things. We can love them all. We can learn from them all. There is only one who took the presence of God and incarnated it as a human being to suffer and be everything we are so that there was no shred of separation left. You see, it's separation that condemns us. And not even by judgment, just by logic. If God created everything and is everything, where can you go and be separate from God? You can only go into the infinite space of nothingness, which is the essence of what we call hell. You cannot live forever separate from God because he created you. Because he created the universe. And this separation had to be cured. That's what Easter did. Well, actually, it began, as you can see, on Good Friday. It began with a surrender, with forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, with the ultimate pain in which he felt separation from his Father, something he had never felt in all eternity. But he did that for us. And, you know, Easter has a power unlike any other day of the year, because it's the day of our reunion to God. Our reunion to God is the salvation. Just accept the forgiveness. Embrace the reunion. And that's the gift. And personally, I don't care if the Easter Bunny brings it to you. I really don't. And Yeshua would just pick up that bunny and love him. You know, there's a whole story on where that comes from. And there was a myth long time ago that there was a rabbit that could lay eggs. And these eggs were magical. And if you ate from them, you would gain eternal life. That was a medieval legend that lived on and didn't have a whole lot of life blood to it until other things were added to the story. But in the Middle Ages, when Christians who were very, very, what do we say? I mean, they were very ritualistic, and they did everything by the book. I mean, everything day by day. When they went into Lent, they, in particular, stopped eating certain foods. One of them, by choice, was the egg, most frequently. And here's one of the reasons. Back in those days, they didn't have refrigeration. Now, eggs will last without any refrigeration for a few days, maybe even a couple of weeks, but they start turning bad after a while. You got to do something with them. Well, so what they would do is they would boil the eggs, knowing that a boiled egg would last until Easter. And they were going to celebrate by eating them on Easter. So they would paint the eggs. And they did. So they would paint the eggs and paint many eggs, and they put them in a basket. I mean, this is true. They would put the eggs in a basket, and on Easter morning, they would have Easter eggs for breakfast. I'm serious. It's the truth. So even this draws its power and its joy from Easter, the real Easter. And anytime you celebrate the rebirth of the world, the rebirth of spring, you see the new baby birds chirping in a nest. That's Easter. That's the joy of rebirth. And I love bringing this message to you. It will never, ever get old. And if you want to look at the world as evidence, well, right now it's a little bit of a troubled place in this world in many places. We've got outbreaks of hate and crime and cruelty, but not everywhere, my friends. You know, the news drives us to look at these places, and we want to hold them in our blessings. We want to hold them in our prayers. But overall, if you compare the world today with the world 2,000 years ago, oh my goodness, how it has changed. It's not the same place. In those days, on the streets of Jerusalem, every day, you could encounter people dying in the street. People with leprosy locked away. You could encounter people being murdered by Roman soldiers every day. You could I don't want to go through it all. But people were basically illiterate. They could only do what they were told to do. And the laws were almost all completely against them. There was no democracy. There was no freedom. Because they didn't have the luxury of freedom. Just look out your window. How many people today have a car? Think about how many people today will have a dinner. How many people will have a safe gathering with their family? This world is a different world. And even though we have troubles, we're still moving forward. And we move forward by the spirit of forgiveness and the power of love. By what power did he do what he did on Good Friday? Love and forgiveness. By what power did he come back from the dead? Love and transcendence. And what does this promise for us? If we were originally created in the image of God, and he incarnated fully as a human being, capable of hunger, thirst, and pain. But he overcame death into eternal life. What kind of promise does that hold for us? I'd say it holds a pretty doggone big promise for us. And that we want to hold in our hearts. We want to celebrate. We want to embrace every day the joy of this day and our union and reunion with our Father. We want to call our Father Abba, which means basically Daddy. Abba. He wants you to know him as Father. There is nothing of that in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, he was the power beyond power that you must take your feet off, your shoes off, and be barefoot approaching the altar. You must kneel before him. Yeshua would say, sit in his lap. There's a big difference. He loves you. And that's what I want to tell you today. The ultimate passage in the New Testament. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that you may have life everlasting. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, God. And everyone here in spirit and the Holy Spirit, do you notice I didn't cough once by the miracle and the blessing of God? He just stepped in and said, you can do this. If he could have Moses speak to the Pharaoh, I guess he could have me overcome bronchitis long enough to speak words of love and truth for you. And I deeply love all of you. I'm here for you. I live for you every day of my life, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Nancy, I think, let's see, what time do we have? We are at 3:36. You know, we actually could take a few callers. And,
yeah, and we just,
I
we just have
be
a few.
Able to respond. Yeah. So, Nancy, you take over.
I will. Thank you, Glenda. Gosh, I know we're all just sort of like, taking it in and, you know, letting it all just be in our hearts. And I know we're going to listen to this message over and over again, but we already know it in our hearts. So thank you for, gosh, everything, Glenda. We love you so much. Hey, you're okay. You're okay.
I'm okay. I'm okay.
I know. I know. We've got, let's see, Stormy. Hi. Happy Easter, Stormy.
Yes. Just before the call, I wanted to give blessing about my perfect communion between Earth and eternity as a result of a boy who was 8 years old asking God to speak to him like Abraham. So I've had that communication. I don't get to believe. I get to unequivocally know. I could have never written the book Love Without End because I don't have any questions because I get to know. And so it is so wondrous to see such a book being written that these knowings come into our world that we can know ourselves. And I give blessing for those that would ask a question and bring that question back into the world that we can understand and know ourselves. And just wanted to give a special blessing for being able to ask and being given so much. And I wanted to bring that spirit of the young boy Stormy, my nickname, born in a thunderstorm that shook the whole hospital in Longview, Texas, out here in East Texas. I wasn't just born, I was put here. And so this is a beautiful day to experience who we truly are. Thank you.
Thank you, Stormy. We love you, Stormy. Let me hear what
Thank
you're saying.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Glenda.
It is important to be able to ask, and beautiful that you've been given so much, so we hold you in our love, and we thank you for being with us today. So we are going to open up our line, Glenda. We've got a little time. Caroline, hi.
Hi, I wanted to express some gratitude today. First of all, to my dear friend Iman, because she was the one that introduced me to you, Glenda, and I'm so grateful to be a part of your community and to have read Love Without End. And I'm so grateful to you, and I want to send you blessings for a speedy recovery from bronchitis, and hope that you're going to be with us for many, many, many more years, because we love you so much. And I also want to express gratitude for my two sons, Dominic and Alex, and their partners, Ying and Christine. Many blessings to them for health, happiness, and success in their lives. And my blessing for me is that I get closer to the quantum field, and I'm more able to experience what's really underneath everything. So thank you very much, and gratitude to all, and love to all.
Thank you, Carolyn, and God bless you.
Yeah. And also many blessings to the people who are standing up for truth and freedom. May they flourish and be safe and be happy and be successful.
Amen.
Amen. Yay.
So well, thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. And thank you for always bringing your family and all these important things going on in our world. And just, you know, we love you, and we're glad you're here every week. So thank you.
Thank
we have
you.
One more, we got one more caller, Glenda. Sarah.
Hello there. This is Sarah. Whoops.
Hi, Sarah.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Yes. Oh, okay. Good. First of all, I, too, want to express gratitude for Glenda and for all of you. And just the blessing for all the years I've been doing it is just a blessing. What else can I say?
But it changes lives, doesn't it?
Yeah. What I would like to ask today, I'm in the midst of an extremely challenging, very messy interpersonal situation that I have no idea how to move forward with it. And it's just, it's like deep stuff that it's almost like a lifetime challenge that I want to clear it. And so a blessing for that. And then tomorrow I will be flying across the country to San Diego to visit my son. And I'd like to bless that trip and bless him and our connection. So thank you and happy Easter to everybody.
Thank you, Sarah. We've got all of that. We've got absolutely. Thank you so much. And you'll have a wonderful trip with your son. It will be wonderful.
Thank you.
And happy Easter to you and to everyone. Glenda, is there anything else that you want to share before we?
Well, yes, there is. I would like us to have a quiet time of prayer together. Let's take about a good 5 minutes. And just each one of us offer our Easter prayer to our family, our friends, all of our loved ones, the people whose lives we're grateful for, the people who need help, the troubled areas of the world, our earth. Just maybe 5 minutes isn't long enough, but I think that's a pretty good amount of time for us to then return. And we'll get ready for the blessing. You know, because I know that in the blessing, we focus upon receiving. In the prayer, we're going to focus upon giving. So let's have about 5 minutes of silent prayer. Nancy, can you call us back when 5 minutes is over?
I'll be happy to call us back. Absolutely.
Okay. Great.
Okay, everyone, we can come back. Thank you. That is very powerful. What a loving circle.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All of us, let's get ready for our blessing. And we're going to do it in our usual way. I want you to stretch. If you're sitting down, think about maybe standing up, if you can, or in any other way where you can stretch your arms out, move them up out, stretch your legs, move your torso around your spine so that you get a fluid. What you're looking for in your body is just fluidity, so that energy can flow through your body without hitting a lot of rocks in the stream. Okay. One of my country analogies. But anyway, I think you know what I mean. And so I want you to take a very deep cleansing breath, just a very deep one where the diaphragm goes down, way down in your tummy, totally full, and then exhale. All right. And we're going to quieten the mind with our breath. We're going to use our breath just to be mindful, but mindful without any particular thought. And that's what we do with the four square breath. And it's also a breath that teaches us the power of giving, waiting, receiving, and waiting, which is the essential cycle of life. We give. We don't always get immediate feedback, but we do receive, and then we don't, pardon me, get immediate benefits. But eventually we do. So let's begin the four square breath. Continue as I give my prayer to Yeshua. Yeshua, Lord of life, Son of God, our eternal brother, we thank you for all you've given to us and continue to give to us through the days of our life. For being there whenever we call, whenever we need. You are my joy, my rock. And the sustaining power of my life. We come to you now to receive your blessings. We make ourselves open to union with you, to receive the Holy Spirit that brings us reunion with our Father. We ask for blessings to our whole world. The troubled places, that they may find peace. And to the prosperous, joyful places, that they may spread their abundance and share. There's so many working so hard. For their efforts, we are so grateful. We ask that you be with all of those who are working with all their might to make this a better place for us all to enjoy, fulfill our spirit of community, and have peace. We pray for peace on earth this moment in your name, and all of this in your name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you stand and join me now, and let's celebrate the blessing and convey the energy of it. The rest of you, continue with your prayer. Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. But now, you need to finish receiving. So go and lie down. Open yourself up. Like just an open drawer can be filled. And a blank slate upon which the blessings of God can be written. Joy to your life. Joy to the world. He is risen. We are reunited with our Creator. Amen. Bye-bye for now. And I look forward to being with you again next week.